You guys act like you lost an hour of sleep last night. I mean, come on. Really? It's just an hour. It's just an hour. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's 60 minutes. Wow. That's something? Well, thank you, Jamie, for that. I guess I really don't have to preach today. That was pretty much the sermon, I think. Huh? Praise the Lord, huh? Jamie and I talked to her this week a little bit, see how she was doing. We didn't really talk about what I was preaching on that, but something that kind of made me chuckle. I always jokingly ask people, say, listen, I'm not preaching unless you got something you want to preach about. And this week, Jamie said, well, if you called me on Saturday night, I would do it, but it would be short, sweet, and what you say the best I could do. And I'm like, praise the Lord. Stepping up, right? Praise the Lord. No. The Lord is awesome, isn't he? He is awesome. We probably better talk to him here this morning. We need to talk to him here this morning, and I need to get out of the way and let him do his thing. Okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before your throne this morning. We are humbled by you, Father, how you work in people's lives and how you orchestrate the service, Father, just the way you want it. And we praise for that. We thank you. Father, we pray that we would always be open to the leading of your Holy Spirit. Guide us in the paths you have led us to, and to say what we need to say, talk about what we need to talk about, sing the songs that you put before us. We praise you and we love you. Father, just be with you this morning, Father, be with me, that I would be your mouthpiece and I would step out of the way and use me to speak your word to your children that you love. Father, we thank and we praise you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. So, you lost an hour of sleep. Isn't that something? Huh? Yeah, I don't try to dwell on it. My body seems like, they've been doing this time change for what, 20 years or 25? I don't know. It's been a long time. 100? Could be 100, I don't think. I'm not quite that old. I feel like it sometimes. Not quite, Barb. But it's funny. It seemed like a month or so before the time change, my body already thinks it's already done. It's disappointing. But anyway. So, you guys look at the title of the sermon today. Is God pleased with you? You ever wonder that? You ever look in the mirror and think, what do you see in me? You ever wonder about that? You ever think that? Am I the only one? We had a conversation a couple weeks ago about mirrors, and everybody, I said, I got a mirror. I said, we got mirrors too. I said, mine says, don't even ask. Don't even ask. Huh? But we're going to be talking about that today. Assurance. Thanks for making me cry this morning, Jamie. Appreciate that. It's always good to cleanse your tears and stuff. Now it's good for you, but that was awesome. Thank you. You see the verse of scripture we got wrote down. We're going to start in Hebrews chapter 7 this morning. I got a little something I want to show you guys. Is God pleased with you? I mean, are you doing enough? Are you, are you praying enough? Are you reading enough? Are you helping out enough? You ever think that? You ever wonder about that? You ever wonder what God thinks about what you do? Well, there's a certain amount we're supposed to do, and then most of what makes us who we are, God does in our life. It's His work. In Hebrews chapter 7, we're going to start here. There's a couple verses I want to look at. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. We need to, and I keep saying this, but I think we need to get this in our mind and understand this, okay? Verse 24 says, but He, Lord Jesus Christ, holds His priesthood unchangeably because He lives forever. He's God. Verse 25, therefore He is able also to save to the uttermost. I heard a preacher one time say He can save from the uttermost to the guttermost. That means from the lowest down to the highest up. The Amplified says completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity. Period. Isn't that cool? Wow. Those who come to God through Him, since He is always living to make petition to God and intercede with Him and intervene for them. He is the High Priest, perfectly adapted to our needs, as was fitting. Holy, blameless, unstained by sin, separated from sinners, and exalted higher than the heavens. That's our God, huh? Can you get a little excited about that? He's our High Priest. He's in heaven interceding for you and me. when I look like an idiot. He said, oh, Father, I paid the price for that one. I know he's dumb. I know. Yesterday, you guys work outside all day yesterday? It was great, wasn't it? The wind was like 85 below zero. It was great, wasn't it? It was so great. I told the Lord, I said, this is cool. He's like, are you stupid? Huh? I'm thinking, man, it was miserable day. Miserable. And I thought, makes me appreciate the nice warm days, doesn't it? Huh? God knows what I was thinking. That's why I said, are you stupid? What's the matter with you? Huh? He's our high priest. He knows me and you inside and out. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what sets you off. He knows what you love. He knows what you hate. He knows you intimately. He knows you. And he intercedes for us, for you, for me, daily, minutely, secondly, for me. That's something. He's our God. And he loves you enough. I don't know. You love people enough that you'd go die on a cross for them? Would you love someone enough that let somebody spit on you, beat you up, slap you around, put a big old crown of thorns on your head and cut you and bleed and be whipped with a cat of nine tails until your back was nothing but blood? You love somebody that much? I don't know. I don't know if I love you that much. Huh? And I love you guys. I do. But you know, you start thinking, wow, that's pretty rough. Huh? Jesus did. He loved you enough. He went to that cross. Isn't that cool? So, is he pleased with you? What do you think? What do you think? It's a rhetorical question, maybe. I don't know. We'll get back to where we're supposed to go. Psalms chapter 6. I'm not a Bible surfer, but I spend a lot of time looking at different verses, and it's kind of neat to bring all this. This sermon, when I looked at it, I told the Lord, I said, what are you doing? Because it's kind of goofy. But it's kind of like me. It's kind of goofy. So I thought, well, okay. If this is where we're going to go, it's going to go. So Psalms chapter 6. Assurance. Jamie read that poem, Footsteps. That's pretty cool. I have a plaster imprints of all my kids on a wall, their feet prints, and then I got that underneath it, footprints. Because, you make me cry, Jamie. When you think about that, you think, when I'm in the middle of my worst, terriblest, messiest mess, God says, I'm carrying you. Jesus says, you know, I'm carrying you. I'm with you. Even though you don't think you feel me, I'm with you. I love you so much. In Psalms chapter 6, verse 6, it says, oh my, I am weary with my groaning. All night I soak my pillow with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. You ever had one of them nights when you cry all night? Ever had one of them? The older you get, I think the more of them you might have. You know what I mean? When you're young, you might have a couple. When you're older, you get, seem like there's a lot of them. David's saying, you know what? I'm in such a terrible strait. I feel so bad that I'm crying and my pillow's getting wet from all my tears. What's he say? Oh, my eye grows dim because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. See? He's got some stuff going on. It doesn't say what, does it? You guys got stuff going on? Karen? You put a scare in us this week, Karen. What was going on with that? I'm like, man, we was praying for you. And I thought, the Lord was awesome, wasn't it? It was, yeah. So, in the middle of our mess, morning we came in this morning and there was just was Jenny was here and Jamie was here and I was here and nobody to play, and we're like, Lord, you got to give us some strength today. And Doug showed up. He showed up. That was an answer to prayer, wasn't it? That was that simple. It said, Lord, we need your help this morning. There was. Isn't that cool? That's pretty cool, isn't it? Is it that easy? You mean it's that simple? I say, Lord, help me, please. Yeah, sometimes it's like that. And other times it's like, I'm going to blow a little more wind on you. It's 20 degrees and it's really cold out there. Like it. He says in verse 8, he says, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. What? David says, listen, guys, the Lord's heard my cries. The Lord's heard my weeping. And He is God. Huh? And all the problems that I got, the stuff that's on me, that's beating me down, He knows every one of them. And He's able to fix it. Isn't that cool? But you don't understand. I've been praying for something for 25 years. 27 now. 27 years. 27 years. 13 days. Yeah. 27 years, 13 days. I'm still waiting for an answer. And you know what? It seems like it's getting worse. But I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord. Verse 9 says, the Lord has heard my supplication, and the Lord receives my prayer. David knew that God was listening to him. Isn't that cool? Isn't it great to... You ever have to talk to somebody and they're like, zoning out? You think, they ain't listening to a word I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? You ever have somebody like that? Yeah. We've all been there. Know this. God's not that way. When you talk to Him, He's listening. And when you talk to Him, He knows what's going on before you even talk to Him about it. And when you talk to Him, He's been there tomorrow. He's been there tomorrow. Isn't that cool? I asked for prayer a couple weeks ago because my job has changed a little bit. It changed a lot. It changed a lot. 80-some hours this week. Got home at 10:30 last night. Had to preach this morning. Had to get up, get around. Couldn't sleep. Isn't that great? I love it. Isn't it great? So you get up and think, what do you got to show me now, Lord? Because I'm not tired. And He did. And then it came in and it's like, where do you get all that energy from? I don't know. I know exactly where it comes from. It ain't from me. I'm old. I'm really old. I am. I'm old. God and His strength and His power, He's going to give you what you need for the day. Isn't that cool? And I don't have to worry about tomorrow because He's going to give me the strength tomorrow. He's already been in tomorrow. He's going to take care of tomorrow. He's going to take care of me. And if He takes me on tomorrow, you guys can rejoice because I'm gone. I'm gone. I'll be dancing in heaven. Isn't that cool? My knee won't even hurt. It'll be great, won't it? It'll be great. So, is God pleased with you? There's a big word, righteousness. Not righteous, big theological, deep, heavy word, righteousness. Basically means right standing with God. Do you realize when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God looks at you with the eyes of His Son. He looks at you as someone He loves so dearly that He would die for you. You understand that when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you become the righteousness of Christ. You're never going to get any more righteouser, guys. You got the righteousness of Christ. Now, I may not be walking out very well on this old body, but I got the righteousness of Christ. We are right standing with God because we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And when God looks at you, all He sees is His Son, the one He loves. Isn't that cool? Do you think God's pleased with you? Amen. He is. Psalm 147. Let's go there. We're in Psalms. Might as well go look at it. Psalm 147. There's a lot of verses and different things you can look at here, but this is one the Lord gave me, so this is where we're going to go. Psalm 147, verse 11. It says, the Lord takes pleasure in those who reverently and worshipfully fear Him, and those who hope in His mercy and loving kindness. Wow. pleasure in you. Isn't that cool? The Lord takes pleasure in you. Even when you don't seem like you're very pleasurable. Is it true? We all have them days, right? We're not very pleasurable. Kind of miserable. Some days we're just downright obnoxious. And you know what? God looks past that, looks in my heart, says, you know what? I still love you. I got home last night. I don't think there was any bone in my body that wasn't cold. And I thought, man. And I took a hot shower, and I thought, that felt really good. Praise the Lord for hot water. And I was praising for that, because like, praise the Lord. And then you're wide awake and you can't sleep. So you get miserable? Do I get angry? Do I get mad? No, I thought, you know, that's okay. It's okay. The Lord had some other things to show me, and He changed the sermon up a little bit. So it's like, that's pretty cool. So if I'd have been sleeping last night, like you guys were, I'd have missed out on that. See? Sleep is overrated. You only lost an hour last night, guys. Come on. Anyway. So, God takes pleasure in you because He loves you. He looks at you through the eyes of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When He sees you, all He sees is the blood covering you that Christ shed on that cross, and you are spotless, sinless. Praise the Lord, a son, a child, a daughter of the Almighty God. Isn't that cool? Can you get a little excited about that? No, Matt, we lost an hour of sleep. I can't get excited about that. Well, praise the Lord, maybe you'll stop the time change. I don't know. Anyway, so, let's keep moving. Let's go to the book of Matthew. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. There's some stuff here that I guess I wanted to show you. No, I didn't want to show you. The Lord was impressing upon me. And I guess I'm going to touch on a couple things that really maybe don't apply to the title today, but it's going to become, I think, apparent here. In Matthew chapter 12, and I'm also starting verse 1, it says, at that particular time, Jesus went through the fields of standing grain on the Sabbath. This is on a Sabbath, okay? And His disciples were hungry and began to pick off spikes of grain to eat them. They were hungry. So they were just picking off some of the grain, eating it. Cool. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said, see there! Listen here! What's up, you? That's my paraphrase. Your disciples are doing what is unlawful and not permitted on the Sabbath. Because it's the Sabbath. You have to say that. It's the Sabbath. That's what you say it. Sabbath. Sounds kind of uppity, don't it? The way I said it, it's real uppity. The Pharisees, I told you about this before, the Pharisees had turned to Sabbath. The Sabbath is a day of rest. We're going to see that. I want you to see this. It's a day of pleasure, of worship, resting, of enjoying the presence of the Lord. I look forward to Sundays coming here to see you guys. I really do. I look forward to it because it's relaxing to me. It's enjoyable. When I sing, I get energy. I'm praising the Lord. I get goosebumps. You ever do that? You get goosebumps. Not from bugs. Not from bugs. But the Pharisees had turned this thing into something that it was not. And I want you to see this. The Pharisees, they had so many laws and rules and regulations about the Sabbath. You couldn't spit covered up with dirt because it would be like plowing against the law. Okay? Against the law. You couldn't cook. You couldn't do any cleaning. You couldn't do anything on the Sabbath. You were not allowed to. It was against the law that the man had made. I want you to see what God made it. So Jesus says to them in verse 3, He said to them, have you not ever read that David did when he was hungry, and those who accompanied him? In 1 Samuel 21, you can back and look at that if you want to, but I went into the house of God and ate the loaves of showbread. These are sanctified holy bread, which is not lawful for him to eat, nor the men who accompany him, but for the priests only. David was fleeing from Saul and had to get out of town quick, didn't take nothing with him. He went to the temple, and the guy said, well, I ain't got no food here. We got some old, hallowed, holy bread. And they ate it. Verse 5. Have you never read the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple violate the sanctity of the Sabbath? And yet are guiltless? Numbers 28, you can look at that if you want to. What's verse 6 say? But I tell you, something greater and more exalted and more majestic than the temple is here. Jesus is saying, you know what, you got all these rules, you know, in the church, you're not allowed to, you know, you can't, no kids up on the stage. Oh, taboo. Huh? You know what I'm saying? We got all this holy sacrifice. I've been to churches before where they had a thing behind where they keep the doors closed so you can't look in. When the guy comes out, he's like, what are they hiding back in there? They got money back in there? Food? They got food back here. Probably don't want you to know it's back here. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what are they doing? Is it that holy that you can't, nobody can see it? Really? It's a building. It is a building. You know what makes this building holy? You sitting in the seat. That's what makes this building holy, because you're holy because of what God did for you. That's what makes this building holy. It's just a building. We can meet in a barn. It's a little cold and drafty sometimes, but we can meet in a barn. Pretty nice. The Lord's given us a nice place to meet, right? Praise the Lord. Jesus tells me, he says, don't you understand that something greater than the temple has come? It's me! Verse 7. And if you had only known what this saying means, I desire mercy rather than sacrifice, sacrificial lambs, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Jesus is always real good about putting these cases in place, isn't he? What's verse 8 say? For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Really? Yeah. Jesus is actually, in essence, telling them, I made it. I made the Sabbath. I designed it. I made it. I put it in place. I did that. So if I build it, I pretty much can tell you what to do with it. Right? Huh? It's in that prayer, but that's what he was telling them. He said, I made it. You know, I turn here, but I'm going back to Exodus. You guys remember that little thing they call the Ten Commandments? You ever hear that? You ever hear the Ten Commandments? Yeah? Can you quote them? Some of them. That's where I'm at. Well, let's praise the Lord for that. Exodus chapter 20. It's a long, drawn-out version of the Ten Commandments. But in here it says, in verse 8, it says, earnestly, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Really? 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your domestic animal, or your sojourner within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He set it apart for His purpose. Part of the Ten Commandments. That's something. So what's he saying there? Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 talks about God had, He had finished creation. Everything we see, the stars, the moon, the sun, everything here on earth, He had finished creating. He spoke it into being. Animals, fish, water, all that stuff, made it. On the seventh day, it said, God rested. The Hebrew verb here is not from, well, I'm really tired. I'm probably going to rest this afternoon, you suppose? Maybe? I don't know. You know what I mean? Because I'm tired, right? God doesn't get tired. The verb means that He just ceased from that work. He stopped. He ceased from it. You ever work 7 days a week? Isn't it great? Enjoyable, right? Great, right? Yeah. Skyler back going, Is that a yes or I don't? They think the guy's crazy, right? You work 7 days a week, it's tiring. It's tiring. You need that seventh day as a break. To get away from what you were doing, the work you were doing, to take a break, okay? You need to take a break from what you're doing. And I've tried to make my life that way. I tried that, and it works pretty much. Now, the Pharisees had took it to the point where, oh, you need prayer on Sunday? Can't do that. It's the Sabbath. Really? Really? Are you hungry? Can't make no food today. It's the Sabbath. Just starve for a while. You'll be all right. Huh? Really? See, they had made it something it was not. It was not designed. God did not design the Sabbath to be something that was a burden. God designed a Sabbath. We can come to church and enjoy fellowship with one another. We can praise the Lord and enjoy hearing some crazy idiot on the stage talk. Isn't that great? Probably not. So God designed a Sabbath for us. All right. What is it, Mark? I'm going to read this to you. Mark chapter 2. I'm going to read it. You don't have to go there. Mark chapter 2. Jesus is talking to these guys again. And in verse 27, Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made on account of and for the sake of man, not man for the Sabbath." The Sabbath was made for you. God knew you needed a break. God knew you couldn't work 7 days a week for years and years and years and be functional in any way, shape, or form and have a good attitude and be refreshed and happy. Huh? He knew you needed a break. He knew, God knew when He made man how you were going to be. He knew our physical attributes. He knew what we were going to be capable of. He knew our minds. He knew everything about us. And He said, "You know what? You guys are going to need a break. You need a break. So I'm going to give them one. I'm going to make a day. I'm going to set it apart. And I'm going to put it in my commandments." It says, "You know what? Take that day and just relax a little bit. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy it. Spend time with me. Enjoy yourself." You can take that to extreme, right? So, back in Matthew chapter 12, He says, "For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." He said, I made it. I made it for you guys. I made it for you guys. So, long story short, we're going on. So, if anybody tells you about the Sabbath, ask you any questions about it, was it Saturday or Sunday, you can take that any way you want to go with it. Any way you want to go with it. But I think it's very important. Do you realize that this is actually the first day of the week? This is not the last day of the week. The first day of the week, you don't have to work. You get to come to church. Isn't that great? It's the first day. I don't work on the first day. Isn't it great? Do a little dance, sing a little song. Isn't it great? It's not the last day. It's the first. This day starts my week. What a great way to start the week. Isn't it great? It's a great way. Sabbath. See how it's spelled? S-A-B-B-A-T-H. Why is there two B's in that? It's spelled the same in the Hebrew as it is in the Greek. You know that? Old Testament, New Testament. God didn't change the word. The two B's, the second B actually stresses the word cease. Cessation. Stop. God's saying, time out. Time out. You need a break. You ever get mad at somebody? You go, time out. I'm going to go over here for a little bit. I'm going to think about this. I'll come back. You ever do that? Take 5 minutes? It's a good thing to do. Because if you don't, you're going to say something you shouldn't have. You're probably going to do something you shouldn't have. Everybody's out there going, yep, I've been there. I won't give you any stories on that one. So, verse 9 it says, "And going on from there, He went into the synagogue." So He just had this little conversation with the Pharisees. Okay, here we go. And verse 10, what's the first thing going to happen here? This is still the Sabbath, still Sunday. "Behold, a man was there with one withered hand." And they said to him, the Pharisees said, okay, is it lawful? Is it lawful? Or allowed, even? Cure people on the Sabbath? And they said this, that they might accuse Him. See, they were looking. They got these laws. It's like the State Highway Patrol sitting out here when the speed limit goes from 55 to 35. And you're zooming along at 70. You come whipping in there, and you're running 55. He's like, gotcha. That's what the Pharisees were trying to do. They were setting a trap, okay? They were setting up a trap. So, what's He say in verse 11? But Jesus says to them, "What man is there among you, if he has only one sheep, and it falls into a ditch on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out?" He asks a simple question. You only got one sheep. And this time, a sheep was probably pretty important, because that could be milk, could be meat, other sheep. I mean, that could be your life. You could die without that. He says, what guy wants sheep won't go down? Oh, it's in a ditch. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? Yeah. Not for the Pharisees, not against the law. Can't do that against the law. We're going to ban you. You're taboo. Really? Verse 12. How much better and of more value is a man than a sheep? Jesus says, how much more important is a person than a sheep? So it is, what does he say? So it is lawful and allowable to do good on the Sabbath. Remember back in verse 8, he says, hey, I built it. I made it. I'm going to change the rules up on you guys. Yes, it is lawful for me to help somebody on the Sabbath. Isn't that cool? Verse 13. Jesus, he's quite a character. He says to the man, stick out your hand. Just stick out your hand. And the man reached it out and restored as sound as the other one. Isn't that cool? He healed him on the Sabbath. And did it right in front of the people who were going to give him a hard time about it. What's verse 14 say? But the Pharisees went out and held a council. They had a meeting. We're going to have a meeting because we're going to figure out how to get rid of this dude. Having a meeting, having a consultation. Really? That they might do away with him. Verse 15, but being aware of this, Jesus went away from there. And many people joined and accompanied him, and he cured all of them. And he strictly charged them and sharply warned them not to make him publicly known. God ever give you a testimony? Testimonies can be a lot of things. It can be something, how your salvation came to play. It could be something that God really did for you in your life that really changed your life, you know? And when God does something that like that to you, I don't think you can keep it in here. I really don't think. Because you're like, dude, you know what God did for me? You know what He did for me? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's exciting, right? And He says, don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. Why did He do that? Verse 17 says, this was in fulfillment of what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. I haven't followed any of my notes yet this morning. You realize that? Not one. Wow. Because verses 18 through 21 is taken from Isaiah 42. And I want to read you Isaiah 42. I like that. It's the same exact thing. But Isaiah 42 brings out a couple more things that I think is real important. Isaiah chapter 42 verse 1 says, behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice and right and reveal truth to the nations. He will not cry or shout aloud or cause his voice to be heard in the street. Verse 3 is kind of an interesting verse. It's in Matthew, but listen to this. A bruised reed he will not break. A dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will bring forth justice and truth. He will not fail or become weak or be crushed and discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. The islands and the coastal regions shall wait hopefully for him and expect his direction. Cool. So what's that verse? A bruised reed. It's verse 20 in Matthew chapter 12. It says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering, dimly burning wick he will not quench. He brings justice and a just cause to victory. Kind of an odd verse in there, don't you think? Talking about somebody, God says, I have put my spirit upon him. I am happy with this. I'm so happy with my son. He is so awesome. Because he's not going to. Bruised reed he's not going to break. Smoldering wick he won't quench. What's that all about? Well, you know me. Probably unfortunate for you that you do. I went and looked up the words for this. I thought, what is this talking about here? It's some stuff, you know, a bruised reed. You could look at this. This is talking about a completely shattered or stressed in words here, but metaphorically here, it is used of a crushed condition of a broken heart. What? It says a bruised knee, a person with a broken heart, he will not break. You ever have a broken heart? Yeah. He's saying here that my son will not turn you away. My son will love you even when you're brokenhearted. My son will love you when you have a broken heart. Oh, okay, that's pretty cool, isn't it? That's pretty cool. And a smoldering wick he will not quench. Some translations say smoldering flax, whatever. This word for smoking. Probably most of them know this. You ever see a kerosene lantern? Ever use them? But you guys all got one? Charlotte has one. Huh? When you really light them and they burn good, after a while they get all carboned up nasty and they get smoking and smoldering. And sometimes the fire will go out and it's just a smoky mess, right? We just turn on a light switch here. Works better, right? I mean, that's nice. Years ago, that's how they had light. That's what it was. You know what I'm saying? So that thing is smoking and smoldering. So what do? You put it out and you clean it, right? You got to clean it. You got to cut it off, whatever you got to get rid of that nasty wick, and you can start over again, right? Well, this smoking wick, it's something that's burning about to go out. It says figuratively a more nominal religiousness without the Spirit's power. And I thought, what? Are you smoking without the power of the Spirit? Are you getting it? Without the power of the Spirit? He says, I won't quench you. I won't put you out. I will not put you out. Isn't that awesome to know that the God that we serve, the God that loves us, loves you so much when you're brokenhearted, when you're down, when you're beaten up, and you're crawling around on the ground. I can't make it, Lord. Help me. He said, what are you doing? Don't you know I love you? I said, Lord, it's cold out here. That wind is rough. He said, don't you know I love you? My life's a mess. Don't you know I love you? I'm crying every night on my bed. Don't you know I love you? Don't you know? Don't you know I sent my son to die on the cross for you? Don't you know that I set you apart as righteous before me? Wow. That makes you want to get up and walk around a little bit, maybe, don't it? Kind of makes you feel like, you know what? Even when my life is a mess, I got somebody who loves me. Isn't that great to know? Emily, you know we've had three beautiful ladies do devotions in a row. You guys notice that? Cool, huh? Several of them make me cry. Emily, that with Logan, this young boy they've taken in. I look at that and I think, you know what? All that child needs is someone to take an interest in them and love them. You know that? That's all a kid needs. A kid don't need fancy presents. He don't need fancy clothes. He don't need all the stuff. All he needs is someone that says, you know what? I love you. I love you. God does the same thing for us. He says, you know what? I love you. If you take nothing else away from the day, understand that God knows your situation. He knows your situation intimately. He knows everything you're going through. He knows every trial and problem that's coming against you. He knows how you feel about it. He knows what people are doing to you. He knows how bad it is in your life. You have your broken heart. That I know what that feels like. I can help you with that. I can love you through this. I can get you through this. And when I just don't feel like I got any power at all, when I feel like I'm just totally a mess, and I got no strength to go on, he says, I love you. You ever have somebody love you and you say that they love you and kind of don't know if they mean it or not? You ever see that commercial? Love you, man. Really? Just that's just words, isn't it? somebody loves you, he died for you. He loved you so much that he died for you. Wow. I got to shut up. You got to understand. You've got to understand God loves you. He is so pleased with you. You're righteous in his eyes because of what his son did on that cross. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before your throne this morning, Father. Just to know that you are our Lord and our Savior. You are the God that created the universe. You spoke it into existence. You made everything that's here. We take the time to set apart a day for us to look to you, to stop, take a deep breath, enjoy some worship and fellowship time with your saints and praising you together. And with our broken hearts and all the baggage that we bring, you still love us so much. Father, I praise you. I thank you for this morning. I pray that this would sink into our minds. Would go down to the depths of our hearts. We would understand that you love us so much. You'd do anything for us. I praise you. Thank you. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for being in our midst this morning. Father, we praise you and love you. In your name we pray. Amen. As the praise band comes forward, elders come forward, this is a time that we offer every Sunday. You come forward to get prayed over, prayed for. We're here to love you. We're here to be the hands and the feet and the hugs and the touches.